Luke 11:20, Jesus said, "If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." The finger of God. It frightens us to think about and to hear about satanic worship. We are all familiar with the Texas cult murders, the dismemberment and the burning of a dozen or so individuals, perhaps small children. In Chicago recently, a cult ban was broken up where women were impregnated for the sole purpose of offering their babies as sacrifices to Satan. In New Orleans, Louisiana, a man was arrested, and when he was asked to empty his pockets, he put on the officer's desk human knuckles that he carried around. If you add to these events the age-old idea that good and evil are really two opposites of equal power warring against each other, and you add to that the phenomenon of demon possession in primitive tribes and some record of it in our own culture in our day, we have the basis for some very frightening events taking place. Satan likes it that way. I was reading a book this past week of missionary stories, and this missionary told about a time when he visited a tribe in Africa several years ago, and he tried to go back to recover a person who had made a profession of faith, but this person had gone back to his old ways of worshiping Satan, and he found him in his tent with the witch doctors. Then they went outside the tent, and the person who had left the faith said, "Your power is limited here. You can't preach here." And the missionary said, "You watch me." And he gathered a crowd around after this person had beat a drum a few times, calling everybody. And the preacher stood up to preach. He could not. He could not say one word. And the person told him, "You're on the devil's turf." He said, "If you will go over there where that old, run-down, dilapidated chapel used to be, you can preach there." And so he went over there to this former chapel area, and the whole tribe followed him over there, and all of them made sure that they were standing on the other side of a ditch. And the missionary said, "I've never preached with such freedom and power in all my life." And he's 70 years old today. A counselor in this country, a psychologist, Christian, in this city, was counseling a young man he suspected of demon possession. And he told the young man, "Why don't I pray for you right now?" The young man, who happened to be twice as big as the counselor, said to him, "If you begin to pray, I might kill you." The devil likes us to be afraid. You see, his method is deceitfulness, and he will either come incognito and not let you know that it's really the devil read the Screwtape letters and you will have a good indication of how the devil operates on us. Or else his main method is to make you afraid of the dark, afraid of crossing the path of a black cat, afraid to walk under a ladder, afraid to spill a little salt. The devil will make you tremble if he can. You see, there is evidence of Satan's power, not only in cultures in Malaysia and in New Guinea and Australia or Africa, but also here in the United States. The devil is alive and well on planet Earth. But let me tell you this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 20, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Wow. I wish I could yell this morning. If I cast out demons with the finger of God. You see, Jesus' power is also evidenced over Satan. He overpowered Satan every time he met him. The scripture, the gospels record the time that in the wilderness temptation when Satan tried to tempt our Lord and to lead him astray, and every time the Lord Jesus was more powerful. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then when Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee to find a Gadarene demoniac, a man who tore his clothes off and he ran around with chains on in a cemetery. And Jesus came and before anybody else knew it, the Gadarene demoniac recognized him. And he said, I know who you are. You are the Son of God. And he was right, and Jesus said, you come out of him, and the spirit of the devil had no power, but his strength melted like wax in the face of Jesus Christ, and he fled from that man. And right here in this story, in verse 14, we read, and he was casting out a demon, and it had made a person mute. He couldn't speak. Maybe deaf, as well as Matthew indicates. But regardless, when he did, the Pharisees, religious leaders, gathered around him and said to him, hey, the reason you have this power is you're casting out evil spirits in the name of Beelzebub. Beelzebub is a Greek word, and the translation of the word is, do you know it? Do you remember a book several years ago written by William Golding about a group of young boys, English boys, stranded on an island who become savages, and they kill a man. And they kill one of their own number, and their ultimate search is when they begin to stalk each other, and they finally chase a wild boar through the jungle. And when they kill the squealing pig, they cut off his head, and they put his head on a stick, and they stick the stick up in the air, and flies begin to buzz around the decapitated pig. And they called it the Lord of the Flies. The Greek word is Beelzebub. It is the name of the devil. He is the Lord of the Flies. That's what they were saying about the Lord Jesus, that he is casting out demons in the name of Satan. But they make a second accusation in verse 16. And others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. Now, so there are two accusations. The first accusation in verse 15, Jesus answers in verses 17 through verse 26. But then the second accusation, the one about showing us a sign, Jesus then answers that later on in the passage, beginning in verse 29. We're not considering that. We're just considering this first accusation. By the way, I think this is an important place where we can just stop and reflect on an application. And the application is this. Whenever honest opposition doesn't work, the devil resorts to slander. Because if you can slander a person, whether or not it's true, you have served the devil's purpose and you have undermined that man or that woman. First Corinthians 13 says that a person who loves thinks good, not evil. It's so easy to fall into the devil's method of slandering others. Why? Let's admit it. William Golding was right when he wrote The Lord of the Flies. Human nature is such that it delights to hear bad about others and not good. There is something sinister about our natures that pleases us. Jesus gives a double and crushing blow to Satan. He gives first a pointed lesson in verse 18. He says, if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? That's just as common sense and as practical as it can get. And it's obvious, and the application is, if God's people are divided against themselves, how can their church stand? And the application is true for marriage. If a man and a woman are divided, how can they stand? I think it was the prophet Amos who said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Whether it's a marriage or whether it's a church. Then he makes a pragmatic question in verse 19. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? A sign of being a Pharisee and getting into the number of the Pharisees was to have power over demons. And so they were saying, our sons are able to cast out the devil in God's name, but you, Jesus, you're casting out the devil in the devil's name. And then he makes this powerful statement. It is so powerful. Listen, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, if that doesn't strike terror, if you're not a Christian, if that doesn't strike terror in your heart, you're ignorant or you're blind. Because Jesus Christ's little finger has more power than the kingdom of the devil. Did you hear me? We see portrayed on television and we hear all of this stuff about Satan and his power and the dark side of life. But those powers cannot match the finger of Jesus Christ. The finger of God is more powerful than Satan. The great symbol of power in the Old Testament was God's arm and his hand with a mighty arm and an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. God delivered his people in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, I come with just the finger of God. And I'm casting out demons with the finger of God. And they recognize me and they fall before me and they plead, let us be cast into those swine over there, and they drive the swine crazy, and the swine run off a cliff and drown in the sea. And the demons fall at Jesus' feet. We know who you are. Please have mercy on us. You see, Jesus, with just the finger of God, overpowers Satan. And the reason I'm telling you this and what I want to say to you this morning is don't be afraid of the dark side. Don't be afraid of Satan if you have Jesus Christ. Because you are the children of the light, not the children of darkness. And the light dispels the darkness. And if Christ is dwelling in you, then Satan has no power and strength and control over you. The power of Christ is unstoppable. It is as if at this point Christ, in speaking in this text, that his kingdom had already come. Did you catch that? He said, surely the kingdom of God has come. But let me tell you, the kingdom of God did not ultimately, finally come as it begins to come in its final manifestation until the cross of Christ. You see, what we don't know is that there was war in heaven when Jesus Christ hung upon the cross. Because Jesus Christ, as we confess in our creed, descended into hell. All of our sins were placed upon him, and the judgment of God was put upon him. And Satan said, you owe me the ransom and the punishment for all sin. And this man who has the sin of Langston Haygood on him, this man who has the sin of every professing of every Christian in the First Presbyterian Church in 1989, all of their sins are upon this one man. God, Satan says, you owe me for their sin. And so God sent him into hell for you. But then, after 3 days of still being under the power of hell, can you see it? Can you see the scene in the dark tomb? I see a party in hell where there is just celebrating going on and glorious shouting by demons. But on the third day, early in the morning, before daybreak, this body that had been placed in this tomb dead, this body this man opened his eyes. Having been dead for 3 days and having suffered the punishment of hell, he opened his eyes. And hell cried out, "Oh God, he is alive." And Jesus Christ and his kingdom came in its power, and every man, woman, and child who believes in him in this sanctuary has been delivered from the power of the evil one. For you are a child of God. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said in this final verse, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Listen to this. You are either, these are not my words, this is what the text says. You are either on the way or else you are in the way. You are either on the way or you're in the way. Which is it with you? You may think you're sitting on the fence. You're not. For either you are part of God's eternal kingdom. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just laying it out. It's what the gospel teaches. You're either on the way, you're either a part of God's kingdom and a child of light, or else you're in the way. Which is it with you? Well, there's one thing for sure, that when you belong to Jesus Christ, the finger of Jesus Christ dwelling in you is stronger, more powerful than hell and darkness, because Satan is no match for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not a Christian, and maybe you would like to become a Christian this morning. If you would, I want to invite you just to stick around after the service so that we can have an opportunity to talk, and I can show you and explain to you how you can have the power of Christ dwelling in you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the finger of God demonstrated that the kingdom of God has come. And we thank you that in the power of his resurrection, he bound Satan. And when we receive him and acknowledge him as Savior and Lord, Satan is bound in our own hearts. Oh, Father, let there be several, many who come to know you today who may not know Christ, who don't know that they oppose the kingdom, but now they know, and they don't want to oppose him because he is eternal and he is all powerful. Help those who are believers this morning who are troubled and worried and fearful because of Satan's power, and he likes to have them just where they are. Deliver them, Lord, from such fearfulness. Give them an honest respect for his power, but give them confidence and faith in the finger of God, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all that love our Lord Jesus with sincerity. Amen.